What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, where you'll notice we're in a slightly different location. Today, I'm at Capital One Arena ahead of the Warriors game tonight in town to take on the Wizards. We will get a late update a little bit later on whether or not Steph Curry is playing tonight. Curry working his way back from injury, but big crowd expected here at Capital One. And actually, that game will be on Bloomberg 99.1 tonight. We are here, but the game will be over on Bloomberg 99.1. Maryland kicking off their season tonight as college basketball gets going. That's coming up. Pre-game coverage at 6:30 here on the Team 980. But it is, of course, a victory Monday. That is the most important thing that we are going to be talking about and how we will spend almost the entirety of our show today, starting with...
It's time to get the breakdown started. One, two, three, three. First up, 10 observations.
Mr. Gizai and just boom, put him right on the ground.
It's first and 10. Number one.
The Commanders straight up, flat out, handled their business yesterday. And I mean that in a very literal sense. Not only are they 7-2, first time they've been that since 1996, but that was a very business-like win in general. It was a professional win. The Giants are not good. They are a team that if you got up on them early, Brandon Tierney talked about it with us last week, they would probably roll over and die a little bit. And credit to the Giants, they didn't fully die. Commanders were really stressed. That's not to say there weren't points in the game that were stressful, but realistically, the Commanders were not stressed for basically the entirety of that game. They were able to get out to a lead. They were able to hold that lead. And there was no point in the second half where the Giants had the lead. And that comes down to the absolutely just savage a nearly six-minute drive that ends in a field goal to get them to 27. Giants come down, credit to them, score to make it 27-22, and they never get the ball back. And had they, it would have been because the Commanders decided to score a touchdown and put the game out of reach. Instead, they kneel on the ball three times at the end of the game. This was a business handling type of win, and it is really fun because this is the type of win that you come to expect from this team. And it is the exact opposite of how any of us that have followed this team for the decade now that I have been, basically, or the previous 15 years before I got here, basically going back to the last time this team was a Super Bowl contender under Joe Gibbs. It's been that long. So for many of you listening, your literal entire whole lives, that you could rely on the Commanders to do exactly what they are supposed to do. And they did yesterday, and they deserve credit for that, especially considering they did not have perhaps their most business-like, most reliable player. Number two, please.
Number two.
They ran the ball for nearly 150 yards without Brian Robinson. This run game is legit, and they probably would have pushed... I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, they would have rushed for 200 yards, but it would have been more with Robinson. That's pretty clear. Like some of the McNichols and Eckler carries that didn't go very far, which ultimately is why Chris Rodriguez comes in. And we'll talk about him more as we go here. But why C-Rod had such a big day yesterday, because they found the back that was best. And the guy that was best was the guy that was most like the guy that was missing. And B-Rob is an even better version than Chris Rodriguez, and he's a more versatile guy, so it could have opened up other things in their offense. But even with that said, Rodriguez, 11 carries, 52 yards, 4.7 per carry. And there was a play in this game that I think just perfectly kind of illustrates how nasty this run game is, that the mix of personnel, design, and everything just being maximized. And it came to a point where the run game had stalled a little bit. Commanders got in that huge drive in the fourth quarter. They started actually with 2 1-yard runs. That was it. They were in bad down and distances. They got to a 3rd and 9, and that's when Jaden just fades and fades and fades, then finds Eckler wide open. Eckler chips, gets out. Nobody picks him up. Jaden finds him. It's like a 30-something yard gain. All of a sudden, it's 1st and 10. They run the ball again with Jeremy McNichols. 1 yard gain, 2nd and 9. Yikes, man. We got 2 1-yard carries in a row. What's going on here? How can we open up this run game a little bit? And this play, 2nd and 9, 7:23 to go in the ball game, is the kind of thing that Cliff has in his literal bag. They run an RPO where the pass option is a bubble to Diami, who has been killer in those situations this year. So they run Diami in motion. Eyes are going to him. The corner follows him. Some of the contained players stay outside because the threat is there of that pass option. And then on the run side of it, I got to talk to Logan to see if there's a different name for this. I'm going to call it counter trap, where Andrew Wiley blocks down on the defensive end. So you got to old Vince Lombardi, we got a seal here. And then John Bates fakes towards the defensive end or the outside linebacker, the edge player on that side, and then gets to the second level. So that edge player is like, sick, I'm free. And here comes Sam Cosmi coming around, looping, and smacks the ever-living hell out of this dude. There's your other Lombardi and a seal there. And you got 8 yards for Jeremy McNichols untouched into the second level. We got counter trap, where it's we got a counter one way, Jeremy McNichols faking, coming back. Like, it is a nasty play design. And at a point where the run game had stalled, they just kept trying different stuff. And it's really, really impressive how they continue to do that stuff. Maybe you call it a power trap. I don't know. We got pullers. We got wham players. We got trap players. We got an RPO attached to it. All I know is it got 8 yards, got them to 3rd and 1. McNichols then picks up the first down, and they continue to march down the field until they get a field goal. And that is the kind of play that this team will make. Cliff does a tremendous job of finding whatever the right thing is, and that actually leads us to the final part of our first half of our 1st and 10.
Number 3.
Which is the situational football dominance of the Washington Commanders. What a sentence. Oh my God. If you had asked me 3 years ago if I would ever say that phrase, I might say no. Things have changed a little bit. Thank goodness. And I give credit to Dan Quinn in a major way on this, because they practice this stuff. Logan has talked about on Take Command that when he was with Dan in Atlanta, they practiced more situational football than any other stop in his career, including when he was with Kyle Shanahan, including when he was with Mike Shanahan here. Like, real professional coaches who know what they're doing and have been good in those situations on some level historically. Kyle, I know he's got some notable not ideal situational football things, so I'm not going to let that slide. But the point is, DQ practice it more than anyone else. And it shows, because as Dan calls them, the winning time plays, they make them again and again and again. And I think the bigger part of that, or just as big of a part as the players' preparation, is the coaches. I cannot believe Brian Daboll screwed up that end of game situation as badly as he did. As he does. Washington runs the ball, gets 1 yard. It's 2nd and 9 with like 48 seconds left. Call timeout, Daboll. What are you doing? Like, then Washington's going to run the ball again. You get another stuff. Now it's 3rd and, even say they get 5 yards, like, it's 3rd and short. They're probably going to run it again, make you use your timeouts. Now you get the ball back above the 2-minute warning, and you still have the 2-minute warning to work with, obviously, as you get back on offense. That's a good situation if you can stop the run. Instead, the Giants let it run all the way down, and Cliff was ready for this. Cliff called a play as if to say, hey, if you're not going to call timeout, we're calling a pass here, because if the ball falls incomplete, the clock stops anyway because of the 2-minute warning. It's a free pass. 42 yards to Olamide Zaccheaus later. Bang, bang, bang. Commanders are in field goal range. They're able to run out the clock, kick the field goal, and that pretty much is game over. That was game over. That was when they ran out the clock. That wasn't on the longer field goal drive. So that's excellent. The end of half, where they get the ball back with like 6 minutes left and drive it all the way down and then hit the TD to Terry. Part of the reason that takes so long is because they get penalties and backed up and then have to overcome that, but they do. They're just ready for every situation, and they make winning time plays. And the thoroughness, where they have not really been caught out situationally at all this year. Like, watch the NFL on any given Sunday. Watch every other game and watch how many coaches mess this stuff up. And between Dan, and shout out to Dave Gardy, who they hired out of the league office for in part this specific reason, because he was a master of situations. He helped design some of the rules. And they're like, what if he worked for us? And Josh Harris was like, cool, write the check. Now they're the best situational team, arguably, in the NFL. Good stuff. Good stuff. Love that. Don't waste time score situations, and the Commanders not only just don't mess them up, they maximize them in this game, while the Giants just absolutely they did a bad job. I'm not going to use any analogies. I'm just going to straight. They were bad. They were very, very bad. All right, when we get back, the back half of our first and 10, including some remarkable numbers about Jaden Daniels and just how well the Commanders' offensive line played yesterday, and a few thoughts on the Commanders' defense and the not-as-bright spots from the game. First and 10, and then we take your calls coming up on a Tell the Truth Monday at the bottom of the hour, 4:30. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.